Morning, everybody. This is News Radio 94.9 890 KDXU. It's Wednesday and time for Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care Show. Here's Richard and Kaylee.
It is Wednesday. This is Wellness Wednesday, and this is the last Wellness Wednesday of the year. We are going to be moving on to, into the new year.
Good morning, everyone, and Happy New Year.
So we were going over some things to talk about today, and we really wanted to talk about kind of 2021 in retrospect. And
Do we really want to talk about 2021?
Well, more importantly, what we're going to do next year, right? I think this has really been a tough year, but we had an event, you know, kind of a This Week in Hospice.
Well, we thought 2021 was going to be the uptick, right? 2020 was the hard year.
Yeah.
And I think we were all looking for a fabulous 2021. In the beginning, that's all we heard was, woo, 2021. And I don't know, it almost, for part of the time, almost seemed a little more challenging than 2020. But I do think that 2022 is going to be a better year. What do you think, Andy?
I hope so. I hope health challenges are behind all of us.
Yeah, I've had
some, especially one of them was COVID,
and so is Richard.
Some other problems. I know Richard did too. So
yeah. So it was a really weird year. I mean, everybody was, you know, there was a whole lot of focus on things that we probably shouldn't have focused on, because while we all got upset, you know, at some level in the conversation and what was going on,
whatever,
there was nothing
side
we could do about it.
Yeah,
you know. But that's what we spent our time and our efforts on, is the things we really couldn't control.
But there was other viruses out there that really kicked people in the bum.
Right.
And we dealt with a lot of challenges with our senior community trying to overcome it. And they were all negative on COVID, but there were still a lot of other viruses that weren't getting attention. People didn't know how to deal with them. And so we felt very fortunate that many of our listeners passed our name on to other people, and they were able to call in and get some help. And it was a good thing. We felt very fortunate to be able to help so many, but I was really surprised by the other virus that seemed to have very, very similar symptoms that wasn't talked about in the news at all. And so people kind of were left with, well, I had 4 negative COVID tests, but I still have these symptoms that have knocked me in the tail, and I'm in bed.
And I can still smell and I can still taste. So, and it's interesting, I was reading an article, and they said that's really the difference, you know, is the way to tell it's COVID is that you lose your smell and taste. And, well, if you don't do that, then it must not be COVID according to the science. But
is that a weird scientific?
But then still, everybody was pushing, no, it must be COVID. COVID's the only thing that, you know, can cause problems in life.
Yeah.
I can testify, I did lose my sense of smell. And most of my sense of taste. And so definitely, you know, when I had COVID, it's been, what, 6 months, 7, 8 months, whatever it was that I had it. Those were real symptoms.
Yeah, so COVID is real.
A long time to get them back.
Yeah,
so.
It's weird.
It's real. But it's not the only thing out there. You know, life is full of other obstacles and issues. And sometimes we lose focus when we're all directed into just talking about this one thing. So today we're really hoping that we can change the narrative a little bit, and instead of everybody still worrying over the things that we can't control, you know, yes, COVID's still out there, those other things are out there, and we're not going to change those facts,
right?
But there are things we can do in our life that that can have great impact and make life much better for ourselves.
A positive situation, right?
So that's really our goal. We do have a story that we want to tell, and, you know, we're going to tie this into This Week in Hospice.
And it's titled, Take Control of What You Can Control.
That's right. and be engaged. You know, be your own best medical advocate. So we're going to use a hypothetical example here. So let's imagine there's a patient in a hospital being treated for a respiratory problem, an undisclosed respiratory problem, and having a very hard time getting enough oxygen from the normal room air. And so they were actually placed, in theory, on high pressure ventilation, which can be very damaging over time. But
long term, right?
Yeah, it's not a long term solution. It causes problems when we do it long term. But if we're talking about making it for more than 3 minutes, at least it allows us that. Right?
Absolutely. And, I mean, we're not talking short-term like a day. We're talking a long-term use. So
weeks, months.
I mean, it's important to recognize that we're fortunate to have all that medical technology and that information and resources available to us. And you should take advantage of them. But know that there comes a point that you have to get weaned off.
And the family of this hypothetical patient looked for solutions for this respiratory problem. They, you know, tried some things that weren't necessarily, you know, offered out there normally, and they saw an improvement in their mother, right? And she was doing better, but she's still on this high-pressure ventilation. So the doctor said, well, we're really surprised because we assumed that she was going to pass away, and we let the whole family in. You know, there was no restrictions on who could go in and visit. That's the level of escalation that
care.
She was, right?
Right.
And then they saw this turnaround, and they said, okay, well, let's try getting her off of ventilation. So they reduced the pressure and the amount of oxygen, and the patient was doing okay for about 30 minutes, which is an indication that they're doing okay.
Right, still high sat rate, still good.
Right. But then they started getting anxious, and they started, you know, breathing heavy, and so the nurse came in and saw that they were breathing heavy, went to the doctor, and the doctor said, well, then kick it back up to full pressure.
Right. Because if you're in respiratory distress, that's an indication that you are not tolerating the lower amount of oxygen, mm-hmm. right? Sure. And we can only go 3 minutes without oxygen.
Right.
So they're not going to risk that. So they give you the high level of high pressure, high liters oxygen again.
Uh-huh. And so then they come in and talk to the family, in theory, and say, well, there's nothing more that we can do. You know, we tried this. We had time for her to recover, but now that we're trying to wean her off, she doesn't seem to be responding to reduced oxygen. And as we continue this oxygen, this high pressure oxygen regimen, it is going to, you know, cause greater problems, and we're never going to get any better. So, and these were, you know, the conversations that were had, you need to prepare for her passing. And those would be very hard words to hear. That would be an extremely hard situation to be in.
But then the family in their conversation, feeling very defeated over the possibilities that were no longer evident. You know, she was no longer able to tolerate normal room temperature or even a lower level, still at a high level, but mm-hmm. even a reduced level of oxygen intake. So in the conversation, one of the children say, you know, I know they said respiratory distress, but it looked very much like her high anxiety, which she commonly has. But
yeah,
now the family's alone in the room,
right,
and discussing what happened.
Right. And so they're talking amongst themselves. All the medical staff has left. And they said, you know, mom has always had, you know, 2 or 3 panic attacks a week that she would go through. But nobody told the doctor this. Nobody told the nurse this. And that she used to be on heavy medications for these panic attacks. But over time, she was able to learn to control them through meditation and things like that.
Recognize key indicators and what have you.
Right. So she had done very well at controlling that throughout the rest of her life. So for the past, who knows, 20 years, that hadn't been as much of an issue. But since the doctors didn't know that, and I think we can all imagine that, you know, been through some pretty traumatic events, and maybe your mind control isn't in as top shape.
Well, and imagine you're in this highly stressful, critical situation. You're in the hospital, you have all your family around you, and they tell you, we're going to try this, and this is our last hope. If this doesn't work, then there's nothing more we can do, and it's time to accept that your fate and say goodbye to your loved ones.
If there were ever a reason for a panic attack, that would be it, Kaylee.
Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly. So you've created this very intense, high stressful level situation, and there really isn't a way to avoid that, right?
Yeah.
As doctors, we have to inform the possibilities, and not knowing that there's a high level of anxiety typically, normally strewing, right? Nothing was done to prevent it. There could have been some medication had only they known. But
yeah.
Because she managed her high anxiety levels mentally and with meditation, there was no record in her file of it. And so now the family's talking and says, it looked the same. Respiratory distress looks the same as high anxiety.
Yeah, you start breathing faster. You know, you hyperventilate. These are all things we've heard from people who have that anxiety and those panic attacks. If the family had just said that to everybody coming in the room, if they'd been a little more prepared, and had that conversation, then the doctors might have said, oh, well, this might be a panic attack. Let's look at the facts. Let's check the oxygen level. Well, she's not, you know, her pulse ox is good. You know, her oxygen saturation is high enough that maybe she can function and we just have to worry about the anxiety.
Or maybe we can offset it with a little medication for anxiety and try it again. Or instead of just saying, okay, we're done. We've exhausted everything. Say goodbye to your family member. And
now it's up to the family to try and engage the doctor again and get a new outcome.
And it's worth noting she probably can't communicate very well herself because she's on the ventilator.
Right.
So she can't tell anybody this.
Yes.
Well, and actually, yes, but also she is in panic and distress, but she's not on a ventilator. Now, we should probably understand that there's two kind of ventilation. There is mechanical ventilation, and then there's this really wonderful BiPAP. The reason it's called a BiPAP is it's almost like a CPAP, and BiPAPs can be very, very temporary. Some people actually do come home and breathe with them at certain periods throughout the day when their oxygen levels decrease so that they can benefit by them. And often, and we see this all the time in our senior community, when offered a BiPAP, because they use the words ventilation, which it is ventilation, a lot of people immediately panic and say, no, BiPAP.
So a BiPAP, let me just say, a CPAP puts its positive air pressure when you're breathing in. And then it's normal pressure. Well, a BiPAP actually causes positive air pressure and then negative air pressure. So it's actually helping you breathe. It's actually forcing air into your lungs and then helping remove air from your lungs.
Right.
And so it's a more aggressive process. And when we're talking about high volumes of pressure, you know, causing those lungs to inflate, not just allow the lungs to inflate, but to cause the lungs to inflate and to retract, that is hard for the
If we can just take pause to just consider for just a moment that too is very stressful on a person when your ability to inhale and exhale is being done for you. That too can be a little overwhelming and stressful. So a lot of people don't like the BiPAP. Same with the CPAP. You have to get used to it. But the BiPAP really can be a very useful tool to get off of the high pressure, high liters concentration of oxygen. It's a way that they can gauge your ability to still use your own lungs while they slowly wean you off of that high pressure. So there is a difference there, and we shouldn't be afraid of BiPAPs, but we should also be aware of them. Know that it feels weird, and it is a process to get used to.
So the reason we bring this fictional story to you today is to demonstrate and hopefully bring home the fact that you need to be actively engaged in your own medical care. If it's just passive, if you're not willing to share, if you're not willing to give information to your doctor and take information and work together, you're probably not going to come out with the best outcome. It really is a team sport. And the more everybody's willing to play hard to win the battle, the
and
better off we are.
And what's the harm in saying to a doctor, you know, that respiratory distress that you detected looks just like her high anxiety. And I don't know if her medical records show this or not, but she has two or three of these a week. What's wrong with saying that, to give them that information? Yeah. Remember that we all respond very, very differently.
Is there, you guys did not finish the story. That's the only thing I complain about. I want to know the resolution.
Well, fictionally, we don't know what the resolution is.
Oh, darn it. I was hoping we could get a happy ending.
This week in hospice is the title of this fictional story.
We may know next week.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we're still hoping that, you know, this works out. And we'll let everybody know in some way what happens here. But so this is really the foundation for what we intended to talk about, but we've gone along in the explanation.
Still got 10 minutes. So.
Yeah. Can I also just say, though, again, how fortunate we are and how lucky we feel that people know that they can reach out and talk to us and find information. And understand that we have a team of doctors and nurses and CNAs that perhaps if you don't know the questions can ask, we're willing at no obligation, at no cost to you, to get together and to talk about these things and help you come up with the questions you need to ask of your doctor with, you know, that ability to be involved in your own best care and say to the doctor, can we try this again? Instead of the doctor saying, oh, that was bad. That was a really big struggle. But if they're able to try it again, maybe this time they could offset it with, you know, a medication for anxiety so mm-hmm. that it's not so overwhelming and scary as they go through that process. Time will tell. But it is important to advocate for yourself, and often we hear on phone calls, but I don't know enough. I don't know what questions to ask.
Right, and in the moment, with all the things going on, it's hard to have clear thoughts as to what you want to do and have a plan. So it really comes down to preparation, and that's kind of what we were hoping to cover today. We may have to extend this into next week, but it's really about preparation and being prepared, and that may seem like a daunting task, but if we break it down into simple steps, it can be absolutely doable. Ben Franklin said, by failing to prepare, we are preparing to fail. Those are absolutely true here. So whatever preparation we do is better than everything that we think we might do in the future.
But remember, it's also never too late until it's really too late, right? So if you discover something later, after you leave the doctor's office or after the doctors walk out the door, if you still have something to be said, write it down so you don't forget and make a point of mentioning it later. Your doctors will appreciate your involvement and information. It shows them, it tells them what you want and what your goals are. Often doctors try to gauge what information, what amount of information you're capable of processing. It is very difficult for a doctor to come into the room and say, if this doesn't work, you're going to say your goodbyes. And they don't use those words. Mm-hmm. We're being very clear on the radio so you understand. But when they said, to the family, we're going to lift some of the regulations for you, the restrictions, so that everybody can be here to spend some time with your mom. What is that saying?
Mm-hmm.
Why would they lift those restrictions? Why would they let everybody come in? You really need to ask further questions because your doctor is likely trying to glean from you how much information you're ready to process and hear. And they do a great job of sending teams in for bereavement and social workers and people to say, how are you processing this? Do you understand your spouse's condition? And often we just throw the knee-jerk reaction of, yes, I understand, I see it. And we really don't understand what we're hearing.
And I think, when we're in these uncomfortable situations and we're not prepared to have these conversations, we don't hear everything that's being said, and we don't necessarily have the state of mind to question everything that's happening. But if you are in unfamiliar territory, if you are in a situation where you're not really comfortable with everything going on, that's the time that we really need to have that heightened sense of intent and control, that we need to be able to say, okay, so I need to really take control of this. And if we can eliminate some of the things that make us uncomfortable, then we have a better chance of focusing on the things that need to be done. So that's, we really want to push this thing. And if this is the only thing you get away from this radio program today, is let's try and take control of the things we can control and not be distracted by the things that we can't. But be aware and be actively engaged in your own good cause, which is your own healthcare. So let's at least get one of the simple four things. We just broke it down to four things that we could do in the new year that would help us get on top of that. And the first one is make a list of the medications that you take. That may seem like not a terribly important thing, but it is a simple task. And I would say that it couldn't take more than 15 minutes to do that, to get all those medications together and make a list of them and what the prescription amounts were, things like that. Or just take pictures of each of the prescription bottles, and this is going to be the important point, of the medications you use, not of all the medications that might be in your cupboard, okay?
Right.
Because over time, we may accumulate a lot of things. But what are the things we're actually taking? And if you make that list, or if you at least take those pictures, then we have a start of some preparation.
And include vitamins and supplements.
Right.
Okay, number two.
So, we also want to understand what those medications are and why. And if you don't know what you're taking medication for, then you don't know whether it's doing you any good. And you can't tell your doctor whether it's working or not. So really find out. And who's the best person to ask to find out what that medication is for? Well, the doctor that prescribed it.
And if it's long-term or short-term.
Yeah. So if you have that conversation with your doctor, you take that list that you've created, and the next time you see your doctor or decide to make an appointment with your doctor to specifically talk about this, it might only take 10 minutes. And again, this is for a long period of time. So for the next year, can we commit 15 minutes to making a list and 10 minutes to talking to the doctor about the list and make that, you know, so that we're better knowledgeable about what that medication is for? If we can do that, then we've accomplished some great things in the new year. And,
yes,
and we're
yeah.
on the start of being prepared. We're preparing to succeed instead of preparing to fail.
Advocating for yourself. That's right.
Right. So if we can do those things, then I think we're going to be really ahead of the game. And then number two on the list, and again, these are four simple things. Number two on the list is get a copy of your medical records. Now, there are four sections to your medical records. They don't break it out this way. You're not going to get little tabs between them. But if you understand what these medical records are and you can look at them, you'll know. So the first one is test results. We've all had, you know, at some age, you start taking tests, blood tests and stool tests.
Yeah, and labs and things like that.
That's right. And that'll be a section that you might get. And that isn't terribly informational for you. There's, you can read it and get some information out of it, but that's not what we're really looking for. But that's what you're going to be given first. The second one would be your medical history. And that's really going to be the chronology of the medical visits that you've had and maybe some information about each of those visits. And that can be some useful information. But these are the two sections that we really think are most important and also the ones you're least likely to get unless you ask for them. And the first one is your doctor's narratives. And that is the information that the doctor thought was the most important information, and they made notes on. So get your doctor's narrative. Ask for that specifically. And it should be there in the records that you get. And if you don't have a doctor's narrative, then you might ask again, because this isn't something that they commonly give out. So if it was just handed off to, yeah, send medical records to this person, they may go with a standard. This is what the office gives first time around.
The history and the labs.
Right.
Test results.
So go ahead and get that doctor's narrative. Find out what your doctor thought were the most important things to remember. Not the things that you thought were important to remember in the conversation, but the things he thinks is important. And then the last part, and this is probably the most important part, is your plan of care. And those are the things that your doctor has written down that are a plan for the future. These are the steps that we're going to take to try and solve these things. So if we can get those four things, that's a good start. And then with that, and just as far as time goes, it takes maybe, you know, 5 minutes to make a call to a doctor's office and ask for that. It may take three or four calls. You might be in this 20, 30 minutes.
You might have to go down and sign a release.
Yeah, you might have an effort in there, but this is kind of a one-time deal so that we have a better year and we're better prepared if we know what's going on. It's nice if you go into the hospital or if you see another doctor, if you had that folder with all that information, then the hospital's going to have it because they don't have time. They're going to ask you what your medications are. What's the likelihood you're going to remember all of them? They're going to try and figure out what your medical condition is, but if they had it in writing and this is the medical condition, especially, well, these are the things my doctor's most concerned about, is that does this apply to my condition right now? Those are going to be great things to be involved in. And then the third thing is, and I think this is important, find things that cause joy, right? Let's actually look for, in our day-to-day life, find things that we can be joyful about. Because over the past year, my experience, I don't think we've been looking at that. We've been looking at ways to avoid problems, but we haven't really been looking for joy. So we'd really like to.
I think you might be surprised at the impact that has on your medical history.
Yeah. And do some exercise and just try and make those changes in life. Take control of the things you control.
And then the last.
And the last thing, and this we think is very important, listen every Wednesday morning to this program at 8:30. We're on 890 AM, 94.9 FM, mm-hmm. KDXU, and encourage your friends and your neighbors and the family members that you care about. Encourage everybody to listen because we really try and share information every week that will help our elder community take advantage of the system and get a better life. Because we know that medical care is different for the older people than it is for young people.
If you have any questions or you have any needs for seniors in this community, please feel free to give our office a call at no obligation, 435-477-6999, 435-477-6999. Thanks so much.